Got a good one for you. At the end of this week's podcast, we have the interview with Bernie Taupin. He is the guy who wrote all the songs for Elton John that you love throughout the years, decades and decades and decades of phenomenal songs. He came and hang out with us in the studio. Hang out or hung out? Is it hang out or hung out?
He hung out.
He hanged it out, and we interviewed him, and it's really cool. So stick around for that. It's at the end. But right now, it's the beginning.
And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast.
The podcast.
The podcast.
The podcast.
Big D and Bubba Podcast. The podcast. The podcast. Big D and Bubba Podcast.
Oh, yeah. That's the podcast theme.
So, before we move forward...
the podcast is sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day.
So, before we move forward.
A lot of people really wanted to comment on that today on the show.
That was crazy. I got a robocall, one of those... one of those little, you know, automated calls that everybody gets. But it was one where they were trying to threaten me as though they were the Internal Revenue Service. Here's the actual tape of what I got. It came in. They called. I heard it live. I was like, oh, man, I wish I could have taped that for the radio. They called again several other times throughout the day, so it just went to voicemail.
Of trying to contact you is to inform you that there is a lawsuit filed against you by the IRS and there is an unbailable arrest warrant issued under your name. So, before we move forward with the lawsuit and the legal allegation, contact us as soon as possible on our toll-free number 800.
Blah, blah, blah. That's a fake thing. It's a scam. But the best is how nonchalant and casual he is, you know, whenever he's given it.
So before we move forward.
Thank you, C-3PO.
Great. Yeah, it happens a lot. And, you know, I was telling you that I know someone whose grandfather got taken for $1,000. He fell for it and went and got a, I don't know how you even do a money order of some sort and sent it off, $1,000.
We also had a guy who was telling us about how not only do they take you for money, but they're fishing. The whole thing is they're fishing with a PH. Trying to get your social security number, bank routing numbers, all kinds of stuff like that. So if you get a call like that, or if you know somebody who's gotten a call like that and they say something on Facebook or whatever, or any social media, just say, hey, no, wait, but don't give them anything. That's a scam. And then hopefully you can save them a bunch of headache.
Pahishing is what you meant.
Pahishing? Is that how you pronounce that?
They were pahishing.
Oh, okay. God bless you.
Pahishing.
You knew that was coming.
P-H-I. Pishing.
So, before we...
Pish.
So.
Before we pish.
Breaking news, I have pink eye.
Which is great.
Here,
I'm going to zoom in on you for those who are watching.
No.
What? You don't want to show
okay,
that?
Yeah, okay, I don't care.
Oh! Okay, now stop making the face.
Okay.
Look, it's all wonky.
I know.
It's all...
I feel like the guy from Young Frankenstein. Walk this way. Your hump was on the... What? What's wrong? Nothing.
So.
I think I got it. I don't know how I got it. But I didn't notice. Like, it really started bothering me yesterday morning after the show.
You should have told me, because I would not have let you get into my Jeep.
I didn't think I had it then.
It was bothering you after that or yeah, before
but,
that?
No, after. So I take the leaf blower and I'm blowing the leaves and it's kind of windy, so stuff's all in the air. And
here?
Yes.
Okay.
And like, so I got something in my eye and I was just like, ah, man, it was just bugging me. And so I couldn't get it out of my eye. I could feel it. Like I closed my eyes, you can kind of feel like a grit or something in your eye, you know, like when you close it and you kind of, you know, kind of move your eyeball around when your eyes close. And it just got worse and worse as the day went on. And then by yesterday afternoon, I was just like, oh, my gosh, it is killing me. And I went to the doctor and they said, well, yeah, that looks like pink eye to me. And They did a.
They actually said it looks like it to me instead of just saying it's pink eye.
They said no. What they said was so. Before we move forward.
So before we move forward.
It looks like pink eye to me.
Before we move forward.
I had to do some weird stuff, man. She was like, "Well, I want to make sure that you didn't tear your eyeball." She didn't say that. She said something else.
Your cornea.
Cornea. And so I said, "Okay." So she takes these eye drops and she puts it in my eye and it killed, instantly burns. She goes, "Oh yeah, it's going to burn."
And that's the thing where they hold the light up to it, right? And they look for scratches.
Yeah, and then they put dye. They put took a certain orange dye in my eye. And that's funny because that rhymes. Then she turns off all the lights and then takes a light and looks into my eye and I have to move it around, that kind of stuff. But she said, "No, it looks fine. You don't have any tears or anything." And then said, "Let's just wash your eye out. That'll probably help."
With soap.
And so they did like a, you know, like just like a eye wash kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And she did say that she got a piece, it looked like a piece of string or something that was pretty big.
Like a worm. Did you ever see that video of the girl with a worm? Like in her eyeball?
Yes. And I don't want to think about that because it was awful.
Okay. Is that what they found?
Yeah, they found a worm. They found a worm and it fell out and then it melted through the floor. But no, she found a string, and so I don't know if that like caused it to agitate and get worse. But I don't know.
I'm sure it didn't help.
It didn't help.
No, that's awful.
But she said, "Yeah, I'm gonna give you these eye drops." She goes, "These are the bomb." She goes, "When you run out, do not throw it away, because it's liquid gold." And I said, "Okay."
Well, why would you not throw it away if you were empty?
No, because I won't use all of it.
What does it do? Like is it to clear up the pink eye, or does it do other stuff?
I don't know.
Well, if she's saying it's like liquid gold, because I'm going, I've a little issue with my contacts lately. I mean, I'll try anything.
It has.
I'm going to the pawn shop.
It's got stuff in it.
Hmm.
Gold.
It's like liquid gold. No, it has. It has ophloxin amoxicillin. A less lamic solution.
Oh, well.
0.3%.
Sure.
I think this should be done within a couple of days, she said. It already feels better. This morning I couldn't open my eye. It was gross.
Some people saying put a hot tea bag on it. Dub says poke a stick in it.
That's funny.
It's funny. I'm looking at
Man, you should have seen that worm when it came out of my ear, my eye.
Stop.
It's crazy. I was like, "What is that?" And she starts gagging. She's like, "It's a worm." I'm like, "No, it's not." And then it fell, Bubba, and it hit the floor, and it kind of let splat, wet sound. And then it starts eating its way through the floor.
Like acid or with its mouth?
Are you saying his ass?
Acid or with its mouth?
I think
it's eating its way through the floor. Was it like melting its way through, or was it eating its way?
That's the thing. It had acid fangs.
Acid mouth.
It had acid mouth. And I know normally they say don't do that, but he was fine and was able to eat through the floor.
Poor Carson.
You all right, Carson?
I'm great. I am so thrilled to be alive today.
If it does happen, you can use these medicated drops.
The liquid gold.
Liquid gold.
For the what? Acid mouth?
Mm-hmm. And then we don't know where that worm went. It's gone.
Oh, we know. We have some ideas. It wasn't.
You know what always gets
counter.
Me is in those movies when they have like a worm and they strap someone down and then they take a worm and they put it in their ear, like in a sci-fi movie.
Mm-hmm.
And you see it and it kind of goes in there like, oh!
And it takes over their personality.
And then they can see it underneath the skin when it kind of goes across their forehead. That skeezes me out so bad.
It's so gross.
Why?
You really? I have to explain why that skeezes me out? That's a worm going in someone's ear?
But it's fake.
I know it's fake, but I can't watch it.
Just because it's fake doesn't mean it's still not gross.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
It's like I still get scared watching horror movies, even though I know it's not really happening.
Not me. You know why?
Because you're strong.
Because I don't watch horror movies.
You're a man.
I won't go. I want to go see. I really want to go see the Quiet. What is it? The Quiet Place. I really want to see that, but I'm not going to ever see that because
why do you not? Because what makes you want to see that?
I don't know. I don't know. There's something about it that just it looks amazing. Yeah, like the trailer is really good.
There's some things like it was like that for me.
It didn't even interest me at all. But this does for some. And I think it's because we live in this world of sound. You know, our job, it's like a tapestry. You know, we have to paint with colors for a couple hours a day, you know, of people's voices and music and all this stuff. And every day it's different. And that's what's beautiful about
silence. Explain what the movie's about.
Well, it's aliens, right? Aliens come and then they hunt people according to...
Yes, and the aliens, they track you by hearing
you. They can't see?
Right. That's my understanding based on what I read on Wikipedia. So the aliens can only track you by sound. So the point is you have to be quiet. And where this family has an advantage is that one of their children is deaf. So they already know ASL. So they can communicate without having to talk.
That is American Sign Language, not age, sex, location.
Yeah, I wasn't looking on AIM.
Remember when that was a thing?
Yeah.
Have a seat on the couch there. Would you like a cookie? So what are you doing here? Anyway.
So the point is that it's this family who's managed to survive by being quiet.
What's the name of the movie again?
A Quiet Place. It's John Krasinski from The Office and his wife, Emily Blunt.
Is he still ripped like after... the Benghazi movie?
Oh, I don't... Was he in it?
You didn't... Yeah, that was him, the Benghazi guy.
Oh,
you haven't seen the little meme? It's like they show a picture of Jim from The Office.
Yeah.
Jim, and then next to it, it's got G-Y-M. Yeah, just look on your phone.
Oh.
Jim and Jim. Hmm. And it's like a little meme of...
No, he looks like Jim with a beard.
Okay.
He looks like Krasinski.
He's not all Benghazi bowed up?
I guess not, but he's still dreamy Jim Halpert. But just in this other role.
Oh, well, you'll fall in love with him more if you watch the Benghazi movie.
Okay.
I'm watching the trailer, and it's awesome looking.
Yeah, it really...
They have to be really quiet, and they're the only ones... Are they the only ones left?
I know there's at least one person in the trailer. There's another person, but the guy screams.
Like the old man?
Yeah, the old guy.
Yeah.
Did you see the trailer in the theater?
I saw the trailer in the theater.
Yeah.
I saw the second, because we go to the movies a lot.
Right.
So I saw both of them. And it's really weird because you hear, and you talked about it on the show, you hear during the movie, you can't like eat popcorn and all that stuff because it's so quiet, you hear everything. So
everything
in the movie,
is there.
The movie itself is, the majority of it is silent.
That's why it's so off-putting, even just watching the trailer in the movie theater, because it was silent and it was very creepy. Just sitting in there, because I think
that's what is so attractive to me. Like sound and silence, that magic that works between them. I would love to see how they do that.
And I think we're a little bit even more heightened to it because, like, our biggest fear in our work life is silence, like dead air.
No,
means something's wrong.
It's funny because I don't worry about it. A lot of times we will leave dead air on purpose. Like Big D and I will let it sit for a moment sometimes.
Well, that was an awful example. Yeah,
I know, but... I
mean, let it simmer. No, but I mean...
But if I would have...
You know,
if
like
if the
music's
sentence,
not
she would have
playing,
talked.
What's wrong? And you panic and...
Yeah.
There's a certain time when you use it. It's usually... You know, and people, I mean, it's a technique.
For emphasis.
Yes. Speaking of quiet...
Not us.
Have you guys ever done the float...
Float therapy?
Yeah, float therapy.
I want to. Bad.
I've done it.
I've seen it. I've never done it.
And it's completely dark?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
And do you go
you
to
can,
the upside
no,
down?
No, you
like,
can. You
like 11?
Okay. You can not make it dark. You can have like a little red light in it because some people get really messed up. But the one I went to was an inch or 2 inches of salt. And then they put water. It's like a certain type of water. It's not like water. It's certain distilled.
So you already
maybe.
Did it?
Okay.
I've already done it.
Okay.
And you get in the water, and then they close up the hatch, and you're completely immersed in nothing. You have no sound. You have no light. And because you're floating on this water, you float in about 2 inches of water.
So you're not like in the womb floating. I thought you float.
No, you float on top. What do you mean float?
You said 2 inches of water.
Did you mean more like you thought it was a tank?
Yeah,
like you're suspended in water. Like, no.
And they put like a mask on you, like Luke Skywalker, and Empire Strikes Back, and you're like,
"That's a good way to get sued after you die."
Right.
Well, that's what I thought it was. I didn't know.
Yeah, no, it's just there's water in there, and then you it's like the Dead Sea, and so because of the salt, you float on top of the surface, but there's no and the temperature is warm enough so that you don't feel the difference in water temperature on your skin, and so you just feel like you're nowhere. There's no sound, light, feeling of
sensory
touch.
Deprivation is in full effect.
Yeah, and so you kind of get in.
Did you hallucinate?
No, I had a friend of mine who said he did it, and he heard voices.
Ooh,
and he also felt he thought someone was touching him on the butt.
And did he feel that sensation on his leg where his phone was vibrating? That happens to me all the time.
Yeah. That's
where you
weird.
Feel, you
yeah,
know, you think you feel your phone vibrating.
Yeah,
and then
ghost rings.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you look and you're like, I'm not having my phone.
That's the ghost of your past phones. Yeah,
nobody's calling me. It's wishful thinking.
You should try it. There's a place right over there that doesn't.
Really?
Yeah, literally.
How much is it?
I think it's $45.
I won't do it.
For an hour and a half.
Oh, wow. I don't think that's too unreasonable. I thought it was going to be way more expensive.
It would be great if you came out with a tan. Like, if you can combine floating with a tan, then it would be great. You know? Then you're like, it's a spray tan, and you float
and
at
you
the
float.
Same time.
We all float down here. Okay, so when you get in and they shut the hatch,
yeah.
Did you ever feel like claustrophobia for a hot minute or anything?
Well, no, because you can't see it.
Okay.
So, I was actually in, I kind of told you wrong. Gunnar was in the hatch. I was in they have an open bed. So it's like in a big room, and it's just a big giant square. And
like a
then
little,
it's
like a kiddie pool size thing?
Yeah, kind of like, you know, it looked like it reminded me was a giant water bed without the bladder on it. So, you know, you had that,
yeah, like it looks like a sandbox, and then you get in.
Yeah,
and,
exactly right. And then I did that one just because of they didn't have.
Rachel said that your price is cheap. The one over where she lives is $80 an hour.
Oh,
$80 for an hour and a half. But if it's your birthday, you get 50% off. Oh, cool. Thank you. It's good to know.
I know what I'm doing next year.
No markup there. So y'all should try it, man. Yeah, after about I'm guessing because you kind of really do lose time. After about 10 minutes or so, 15 minutes, that's when you finally kind of start to relax. And they give you these earplugs to put in because your ears go down. So you're floating. So
oh, you get water in your ears.
You get water in your ears. So they give you those really good ones like the wax.
The wax, yeah.
And so that kind of also makes you get even more internal because, you know, when you close your ears up, all of a sudden it kind of makes you feel more enclosed. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah. I know exactly.
Yeah.
What you're
and so
it's a barrier for sure when your ears are kind of blocked.
And so then you really, really get very kind of internal. And
did you have thoughts? Did your mind go blank?
What
you should have
just
had
run
was
through your mind
mushrooms before doing it. And then it would have been great.
I didn't
Could
have,
you imagine like somebody getting blitzed out of their mind and then just getting in one of these chambers? What?
Yeah.
Hey, dude. You think that's crazy? People do it. And you know people have
I'm
done
sure
it.
They do. I wouldn't know the first place to go to get mushrooms. Not going to lie. I'm a dork. You know? hey, can I have some shrooms to go lay in a sensory deprivation tank? Lamest drug story
little peyote.
Ever.
Let's all go out into the desert and get some peyote and then go in this float thing.
I'm going to go lick a cactus. It's fine.
And when you walk in, you whisper everywhere. Like, you don't talk out loud.
Oh, really?
Because it's a quiet place.
Yeah. Like, they have real soft music playing.
Mm.
And when you walk in, you're just kind of like this. About this. This is about this level right here.
I would like to get in here for about 4 hours.
That hippie will come across that desk.
Oh, my gosh.
No.
So much for nonviolence.
Yeah. And the guy runs it. He's a, like, total, you know, hippie guy.
Namaste, bro.
It's okay, man. Hey, man. Freedom rock.
Yeah, D went and did one of those float things. That. You did it
too? Did you do the one right over here?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Did they
have
to use extra salt?
Which one did you use, the open one or the closed?
No, the closed.
Oh, you did. I didn't do that one.
How is the open one? Is it just a dark room?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, the closed one, that's where it's at, man.
Yeah, did you have music playing?
Mm-mm.
You just had nothing?
Nothing.
You can play music.
Silence. Just totally.
There's not much room in there. I mean, you don't need much room.
Do they have
room? Did you notice that, like, when you're floating, that you would kind of, like, I would float and my foot would, like, touch the edge and it would kind of take me out of a,
Yeah, like, there was a couple of times where you'd really get into, you weren't sleeping, you were just in this
state of
total
relaxation.
Like, does it feel like REM sleep, but you're awake?
I would compare it to the after effects of it were like having had a massage. And since I know you don't care for massages, so you probably not.
I don't like massages.
They say it has that same kind of effect, though. It's a total, it relaxes all your muscles to this like crazy state. It relaxes your mind to that state. And it was, I'm surprised I didn't do it again. It's not cheap, but it was definitely really cool.
You liked it?
I liked it. If I had money, I'd have one of those in my house.
They're not that
Joe
hard.
Rogan has one of those in his house.
Yeah, they're not super hard to make.
I mean, it's not super hard to make.
It's just having I mean, it's not at all.
Wow.
But it's like, it's a lot of salt.
A lot of salt. A lot of upkeep. You got to keep it clean. Like, salt keeps it clean.
2,000 pounds of salt or whatever, I think he said.
For what? Each time?
No, just in the water.
They keep it in there.
The water has so, I mean, it's the level of salt
in
the water.
No, but I'm saying they have 2,000 pounds of salt in there.
In each one. In each container. And so, then they put water on. Is it a special kind of water distilled?
No, it doesn't have to be a special kind of water. I mean, it's probably distilled water.
That salt gets, I mean, there's nothing.
Nothing can live in it.
No.
No bacteria can live in it. Nothing. It is.
You say that.
Seriously, it's like the Dead Sea. Nothing can live in it.
You don't think anything's alive in the Dead Sea?
Nothing.
No.
There's not even bacteria in the Dead Sea?
No, bacteria. It can't be. There's too much salt.
Yeah.
And when
salt
you get out,
kills everything.
Remember when you get out, you're like, you have salt all over you. It's like,
take a shower.
It's weird.
Not doing it now.
Well, you're getting it naked.
I don't want to get it in a shower.
Oh, wait, you can't wear clothes?
No.
Oh, peace out. I'm out. Nope.
You're getting it naked.
Nope.
What are you talking about?
What's wrong? You get in the bathtub naked, don't you?
Under protest. It was up to me. I would shower.
But it's also her bathtub. It is also her bathtub. It's
you guys
not like
are
you're
missing the point. This is being in water that salty is more clean than laying in like rubbing alcohol. There's nothing.
It's cleaner than your bathtub.
Yeah.
If you're worried about germs, this is the place.
There are no germs.
No, I'm just worried that there's weird hippie guy in the next room, and you want me to take off my clothes.
I mean, yeah, there's
like a door behind you.
There's a peephole. I could see people looking at me. I'm so big deal.
Did Gunner do
or
the
not a big deal
thing?
Yeah, he did. He didn't care for it. He got water in his ear, and he kind of
took him out of it.
He didn't care for it.
Yeah, if I went back, I would use earplugs.
Oh, you didn't
water.
Use earplugs? Mm-hmm. Oh, we both use earplugs.
What about like the ones like the little foam ones you use like at NASCAR and
you
the gun range and
they
all just, that? That works
pretty good.
The ones I had was the like I said, the wax, and they were, really good, but I didn't get any water in my ear. But
I mean, I float in regular, chlorinated water. So I laid on that. It felt like I was laying on top of it. It was crazy.
Yeah, it's a weird feeling.
But
after a while,
it's the fact that it's pitch black, it's quiet, and none of your muscles are working. Basically,
there's no
point of contact.
I think I'm sold. I think I would like to do it.
It's like floating.
What
in space.
Is the purpose of it?
Well,
to
it
relax.
Has mental and physical purposes. The physical purpose is that when you're floating on water like that, and you're not having to worry about anything, your body can relax in a way it can't. Like even in a bed, you're relaxing, but your body, it's hitting pressure points on you. This is like floating in space. It's crazy.
It's like zero gravity.
So,
kind of
do you
feeling.
Think it might help with sore muscles?
It does.
Okay.
I mean, they say there are people who do this as opposed to getting a massage.
I would like to drink a bottle of wine and go do it.
The problem with that, you drink a whole bottle of wine, you're gonna have to get out halfway through so you can pee.
Not me.
Not I just me. Peed right there. I didn't care.
Oh, don't pee in the...
It's okay to pee there. Pee is sterile.
No,
the salt
no.
water will kill anything that's not.
Yeah, but still.
I couldn't help myself, Patrick. I just could not help myself.
Come on. Who of us has not peed in a pool before?
This is not a pool.
Do you get out of the shower to pee?
The other side, Carson.
Exactly.
The mental benefit is that it's this weird... I don't even know how to describe it. It's got this weird kind of... You know,
it's a zen kind of thing.
Yeah.
Calming.
Because when you're in there,
it centers you.
It does. Because you all of a sudden, all you can think about is your own breathing. And then you can really think about everything.
So it's like scuba. Have you guys ever done scuba? Because, like, to me, scuba is like diving is amazingly peaceful because all you hear is Darth Vader the whole time. Yeah. You're. And as you blow out, you hear the bubbles because they all go right there by your ear because you're kind of going forward. So it's like. And it tickles a little bit.
You nice. Would, I think you would really like it.
I think I do. No, I'm sold. I told you. I want to know the place and the name and all that. And I want to go and try to. What is it called again?
It's
floating?
Called float. Did you say the name of the business?
No. Well,
no, but
Float Nashville.
But I'm saying,
Float
what is
Nashville
it
that, but, is the name of the. It's like
what.
Three blocks from here.
What is if somebody wanted to Google it? What do
it's,
you Google?
I mean,
floating
you can,
sensory deprivation
sensory
tank.
Sensory deprivation yeah. tank or
float.
Float.
Yeah, I'd like to see people spell deprivation.
Google will autofill it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, don't worry.
Sensory
Google
deprivation
got your back, man.
Tank.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I wouldn't trust Bing.
Kind of like when I tried to
I
Google
trust Bing.
When I tried to Google the name of that movie we were just talking about, and I came up with a quiet place.
Quiet place? How's
quite.
A quiet place?
You
it's
know what?
Quite
there was
nice.
There was no trailer for Quiet Place, but Quiet there is. Yeah, that movie looks great.
Yeah,
that's and it's not like a. That's the kind of see. That's very similar to it to me. It's kind of that same. It's not all.
It's a thriller.
Yeah,
not
it's more
horror.
Of a yeah, and there's kids in it. It also reminds me of what's that one? Cloverleaf. Do you guys ever see that where he's in
Cloverfield, you mean?
Cloverfield.
Yeah.
Where is that the one where he's in a bunker?
That was
like the sequel.
2, I think. Yeah, with John Goodman.
John Goodman.
Yeah.
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 I haven't seen it, but I know the one you're talking about.
It's good. It's good.
See, okay, so did you see A Quiet Place yet or no?
Mm-mm.
Because
no.
I've talked to everybody who wants to go and see it. And I don't like scary crap. I don't at all. But if it's something like a thriller, that's completely different. I don't want to go see a horror movie where I'm going to be walking around my house at 3 a.m. thinking that some little kid's going to pop out in a dress with the black hair. You know, whatever.
No, it's not like that.
If it's more like Jurassic Park and that kind of stuff, like, you know.
That's my understanding. Even John Krasinski said, like, he hates horror movies. He doesn't like them.
I hate them, too.
And he read, I guess, this story that somebody had written. They wanted to make it into a movie. And so he started watching things like, he watched more thrillers, kind of like Get Out. He's not watching, like, Friday the 13th. He wasn't watching splatter films. And he actually talks about how he also feels this is. That yes, it's a thriller, but there's a family story in it. Not meaning like you'd take your 6-year-old, but he means it's a story about a family that's surviving, almost like probably Walking Dead, but amped up a little bit more.
And I'll tell you, that's one, and because anybody who knows me knows that if you know that I hate the scary stuff, The Walking Dead to me was not scary for some because it's the human story. It's not about the zombies; it's about the humans. And it goes back to, I'm going to say it again, The Walking Dead literally stole the whole idea from Battlestar Galactica. If you watch the Battlestar Galactica reboot, you go, oh my gosh, this is so great. And I think it'll probably feel a little dated now to some people because they're like, oh yeah, Walking Dead already did this. But it's the robots basically closing in on the human race, and it's pretty cool. It's better, actually. Then it got weird, like in season 3. So.
Well, it's the season finale of The Walking Dead this weekend.
When are they going to do the series finale? Like, how far are they going to
go? Well, I know Norman Reedus and Andrew Lincoln have both signed on for season 9, as is Jeffrey Dean Morgan. I know that their contracts have been extended. So
Negan
least...
is coming back?
Uh-huh. He's still a part of the comics.
Yeah, they're
so...
famous for signing people to contracts and then killing them off, and they signed them to a contract just to, you
to
know...
To kind of mess around with
yeah,
people?
Yeah, to keep people guessing.
No, well, you're not getting rid of Norman Reedus. Like, I know everybody's like, oh, they're going to kill Daryl to shock us. No, they're not.
Norman
He's their
Reedus
money.
Can get rid of Norman Reedus. So he might say, I'm done.
Right. But that's going to be his call because Daryl is the moneymaker. Andrew Lincoln, it's his story. Now that you killed off Carl. Spoiler.
Yay!
Yeah. So I think there's at least, they're probably going to go through at least season 10.
I do like Carl's letters, though.
Yeah.
His letters were nice.
Yep.
And the whole thing about Negan, nope, nope. Spoilers. It's actually gotten better again.
Yes.
Like Walking Dead kind of has gone through a weird lull. Like what, the last two seasons have kind of been
Yeah,
off.
Ever since Negan showed up with the bat, it was just the whole thing kind of got pushed off. But this last back half of the season has been really good. And it's got character development and it's held my attention again. And as somebody who's a really big fan, the first half of the season, I was like, y'all, what am I watching? All they're doing is fighting and I'm bored.
Yeah.
And I would just sit there. I'd be like, oh, you know what? Outlander's on. I'll rewatch that. Like, that's how bad it was.
By the way, if you're looking for a great podcast, Carson does a podcast about Outlander and it's called
Talk About Lander. Which, how did nobody have that before me?
I don't know.
Come on.
It's a very clever name.
I know.
I didn't know you had your own podcast.
Yeah, I did an Outlander podcast. I did it to coincide with this season. I did it for each episode.
Mm-hmm. How raunchy is the show, Outlander?
No, it's not. There's a couple of, R-rated scenes.
My daughter's been watching it. And I'm like, wait, what? I just found that out because Stacy got her. By the way, happy birthday, Olivia. Today's her birthday. She'll never hear that because she doesn't listen to our podcast, I'm sure.
Cool little voice you have.
But
happy birthday.
That's how I talk to kids and dogs.
What's your kid and dog voice?
Happy birthday.
That's the way all
it
kids
goes
and
up
dogs?
Like six octaves. Yeah.
Okay. But anyway, so Stacy got her a breakfast date today. So Olivia, goes to the kitchen and there is her man. It's that guy, Jamie.
Yeah.
What's his name?
James Alexander Malcolm McKenzie Fraser. Yes.
Him.
Jamie Fraser.
What do you mean he's there? What are you talking about?
She
it's
has
the star
a
of Outlander, Sam Heughan.
Yeah, she got a life-size cutout, Jamie. Like a stand-up. Of the Outlander guy.
He said it to me this morning. I'm like, I'm so jealous of your house right now. You have a life-size Jamie. I don't. Because that's not crazy.
Okay. Yeah.
I didn't know she was that big of a fan until I saw that. And I'm like, wow.
Yeah. No, there's some. There's definitely some R-rated scenes up in there. But I don't think they're bad. I mean, there's nudity for sure. And there's, stuff because it's. Pertaining to the romance.
As a dad, I don't like that.
but I
want to lock the Netflix account right now. Sorry,
but
new password. Who is?
It's not as, especially like season two, there's not much at all. And this past season, there's been some, but not all. Season one was the most so far.
Friday the 13th, lucky, unlucky, or not anything, just a number?
I mean, I was born on the 13th, so it's
Were
a lucky
you?
Day for
on
me.
On a Friday?
I was a Tuesday the 13th, but... Oh. I know, I was bummed. I want to be Friday.
Olivia was born on a Friday the 13th.
That's awesome. So was Alfred Hitchcock.
It was Good Friday also.
Oh.
And
it was really a good Friday for
you.
Yeah,
that's what I thought. I was like, yeah, it's good. So every year she gets all weirded out. She's like, everybody hates my birthday because it's a Friday the 13th. I'm like, no, it's good. Well, actually, it doesn't fall on Friday often.
Right.
But when it does, she throws a fit. And she's like, this sucks. Today, because of the Outlander guy waiting for her with her breakfast, apparently it's now a good thing.
I think that's a great thing. Now, Friday the 13th is fine. It's fine. It's actually a good day to travel because I guess people are so superstitious that a lot won't travel on Friday the 13th. So, yeah.
Is that a real thing?
Yeah. Oh, I've been looking up Friday the 13th facts all day.
People don't drive on trips for Friday the 13th.
They don't drive and they don't fly. They're afraid of making journeys because if you're superstitious and you think it's an unlucky day, you think you have a heightened chance of being in some sort of accident.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that coincides with restaurants and everything? Like people just don't want to leave their house, so everything will be less today?
Oh, maybe.
Could be.
I mean, if we're lucky.
Live PD should be good.
Live PD is going to be great.
Live PD, man, I'll tell you, people always make a big thing out of full moons and that kind of stuff. But you can really tell when I'm watching Live PD, which, by the way, is on the best show ever on TV, Friday and Saturday nights, A&E Network. You'll love it. When I'm watching it and it's a full moon, you can literally tell. And I guess any cop friend, anybody in law enforcement will tell you the same thing.
Emergency rooms will tell you that, too.
Yeah. What is it? Like, how can the moon have that much of... I mean, I know there's a pull on the Earth. And
that's where the word lunatic comes from. Luna, moon.
I didn't even know that.
Latin.
I didn't even know that. My mind is blown.
Yep. So, before we move forward...
Lunatic.
Yes.
Comes from Luna.
I had to kept this party short there, kids, but I have to roll. My kids don't have school today. And
aren't they homeschooled?
Thanks for keeping up with my life.
I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know. All right. Well, look, thank you to O'Reilly Auto Parts for sponsoring the podcast. O'Reilly Auto... What?
Just amazing to me.
What?
That you don't even know. You know Gunnar's in school.
Yeah,
I know. I was making a joke.
I feel like I should make an eye joke, but I can't look at it, man. It's so
I'm weird. Sorry.
If you come stare at my eye, it will heal you.
You know about that? You see this guy?
Oh, there's some kooky thing.
Guy that he stares at people. That's his thing. He doesn't speak in public. But he's a healer. He doesn't touch anyone or speak to them.
He just stands on stage. Thousands of people show up.
And thousands of people show up.
They pay money to go and get stared at by this dude.
What a racket.
I said, man, with these eyes looking like that, we could make a fortune. We just go around the country and have him stand.
You'd have to do what you have to find a way to start pink eye, because every time it starts to heal itself, it has to get back again.
Yeah, I need to shoot another worm in my eye.
Yeah. The podcast sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. And stick around for the Bernie Taupin interview that we're going to have at the end.
So, before we move forward.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day. It was the podcast.
Hey, what a cool guest, Bernie Taupin, who's joining the studio. Bernie's, written all of the Elton John songs. Elton does the music. Bernie does the words. It's a pretty neat partnership.
Come on, isn't it the words that matter anyway?
I'd agree with that. Bernie says, yeah. I find that women listen to lyrics more than men do.
I would probably hazard a guess and say you're probably correct.
Yeah. Now, there are some songs that you've done that I have, and I love them, and I love what you and Elton do, but some of the songs, I have no idea what they're about. I hear the song, and I love...
Too cerebral for you?
It's too much. I'm too dumb.
A little too esoteric?
Too much, and I just go, I love the song. I don't even know what esoteric means, right?
What do you... Isn't that like a cream you put on to keep your elbows from getting bad?
Yeah, sometimes I chafe. But yeah, there are some songs, and I just kind of go, but it doesn't bother me.
But you know what? Let me tell you something about that. The fact that you don't know what they're about gives you time to play with your imagination and make up your own theories about what they're about.
Okay.
Sometimes that's a good idea, because sometimes your ideas of what the song is about are probably much more interesting than what were the original concept.
Have you ever had somebody come to you and tell you like what the song was about and it was completely different?
Oh, all the time. Absolutely. The best example was back in the 70s. We had an album called Madman Across the Water.
Which was pretty big.
Yeah, and it was at the time of Watergate, so everybody thought we were talking about Richard Nixon. Which I thought was a great idea, so
and
I kind of went, I'll go with
was.
That. That's, why not? It? Why not? I like that idea.
It wasn't at all what you
wasn't
were
at all.
Thinking.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
It's like crazy. Rocket Man. Is that a space guy?
Or is it just somebody getting high? I would imagine so. I don't know if you're familiar with the Ray Bradbury book, The Illustrated Man.
Guess.
Okay, well, that was a book of short stories.
I'm not.
Okay, and there was a story in there about... which is called The Rocket Man. And it was about a time when being an astronaut would become basically like being a taxi driver.
Oh.
We're getting close.
So that song was about the drudgery of, being in outer space. And the original story was about the guy would come home on the weekend. It was like being a roadie, they get home and they hang out and then they want to be out on the road again.
Yeah, Bubba's right. We're getting close to that. Like, we're getting closer and closer to it.
Yeah. I am so pumped up. Okay, first of all, you're here because there is a – it's kind of like a tribute album. I hate saying that word because it's more than that. It's kind of a salute, more or less. But Restoration, which is basically reimagined Elton John, Bernie Taupin songs by country artists, which is so cool. And let me tell you, this was – and I'm going to turn this up real quick. Take Me to the Pilot. When I was a kid, my brother had the record of 11-17-70, which is like it's a record from a radio recording or something like that. And I remember it opened up with this song, and I was blown away because I had never heard anything like that. I'd never heard somebody just rock out with the piano and just go completely insane like that. And from that day forth, I became an Elton fan. And then it was only later that I learned that Elton didn't write the songs, he wrote the music, and then you wrote the words. So it was kind of cool. At that point, I became a Bernie fan as well.
Well, talk about songs that are, let's go back to that word, esoteric. That song is pretty strange. I don't even know what that song is about. So let's not go there. No, that track was all about feel. And I'm glad you picked up on that live album because that album was just remixed and reimagined and put out just recently with added bonus tracks.
I was
going
to say, I haven't been able to find it anywhere.
Quite honestly, when people talk about great live albums, I think that's probably one of the best live albums.
It's one of the have you guys ever heard it? It's like a tiny little audience. It's like it sounds like it's 13 people in a room.
Yeah,
it's,
Phil Ramone produced that.
Really?
Believe it or not, in his studio in New York, and I believe it was done in
1970. Yeah.
70, yeah. And it was a amazing situation. I mean, yeah, it was just an invited studio audience and a 3-piece band, and it rocks.
There was only three?
Yeah, it was just Davey.
Oh, my gosh.
Not Davey, actually. Davey hadn't even joined the band then. It was just piano, bass, and drums.
Okay, it sounds like so. I'm telling you, if you've never gone back and listened to it, it's seriously worth your time. And check it out. Bernie Taupin is in the studio.
Is it Rocket Man that you thought was so good? Was that the one that
Little Big Town
did?
Yeah.
Maybe we should play that. He was talking about Rocket Man.
Yeah, they killed it. They just reimagined it in a way that I never would have thought could be done.
The harmonies are sick.
Yeah, I mean, because Frank Medell's production on that is just amazing. Because the thing is, when you do things that are just a cappella like that, it kind of has the danger of going into Glee Club territory. Mm-hmm. And I think that they did it in a way that just is really, really special.
I played it for my wife last night, and she was like, wow, that's amazing.
Well, and also, you know, again, play with your imagination. If you feel like it means something else, then go with it.
I've been doing that for years, and it's driving me
mad.
No, I want the real version. Jeez, Bernie, you're killing me. I want what it really is. My imagination's
Here's a little clip of Rocket Man from Little Big Town.
I miss the earth so much. I miss my wife. It's lonely out in space. On such a timeless flight.
Anyway, it goes on, the harmonies and everything, whenever it kicks in to all this. I'm telling you, you've got to check it out.
By the way, side note, I thought Elton's, when he did the acting in, what's the movie where he's kidnapped?
That was just recently. Kingsman.
Yes. What a great sense of humor.
The surprise breakout in that movie.
You know what? I haven't seen it.
Oh, my gosh.
Really, really good.
Oh, it's really good. He makes fun of himself. You know, he's like, it's really good.
Oh, good. Well, I'll make it my next plane movie.
You should.
You know you can watch it because he makes fun of himself.
Oh, that's good.
Anything Big D makes fun of himself.
I remembered the name of the movie.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Hey, I wanted to ask you about the Candle in the Wind remake, and when you rewrote the lyrics after Princess Diana in that tribute, that is a song that I feel like it's almost I hate to say this in front of you, but I think it's better than the original. I think the remake is even better.
You know, it's on par. The rewrite. I know exactly what you're talking about because they're both so special in their own way.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because the remake was just him and piano, where the original was full band. And that was a situation where, I mean, I hadn't thought about it. He literally called me up and said, could we, because he was supposed to do something at the funeral. And the original idea was to write something new. And I can't remember if it was my idea, but when the Candle in the Wind idea came up, he said, well, would you consider sort of rewriting the lyric and direct it sort of...
Which is kind of risky to take a hit that's that big.
And yeah, I mean, it wasn't something that I was kind of ready to do. I mean, it was something I really did as a favor to him, and obviously it paid off in spades.
It's the biggest selling single of all time.
It is, and it made a tremendous amount of money for charity. Yeah, you know what it beat out?
Copies.
It beat out Bing Crosby's White Christmas as the biggest selling single.
And after that, nothing comes close.
And
it's
there's a park right across the street from Buckingham Palace, and in the park there's a tribute, and it's the England's Rose tribute. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's all from that song.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
it's a kind of an interesting kind of situation because, as I said, it wasn't something I wasn't as close to the event because I live here. I've lived here most of my life now. And so it didn't affect me in the way I think it affected people over there. So, you know, I don't want to sound like cavalier. I just did it as a favor. I mean, obviously, I did it out of, you know,
respect. Yeah.
But I probably wouldn't have done it unless I'd been asked personally to do it.
Wow. I did not know it was that huge.
Oh, absolutely.
Bigger
and like I said,
Bing Crosby, White Christmas?
It's Candle in the Wind and then White Christmas. And then after that, the number three selling song is like half of what?
Thriller?
Thriller's a big album, but it's not.
Blue Moves is one of my favorite albums.
Oh, really?
It's one that people don't really know as much. Yeah. But the song on there, like the biggest heartbreaker ever. Sorry seems to be the hardest word. Am I saying the title right?
Sorry seems to be the hardest word.
That song was like when you put it on, it'll rip your heart out. The words are so great.
Yeah. The interesting thing about that song, that was one of the only songs that we've ever written where he actually came up with a melody first. And he played it to me, and I, for some reason, just came up with the title. So that has a special place as being the one song that's just really off of the beaten track of how we normally do things.
And the oddest thing is I heard it in a cat food commercial a while back, like a couple years ago. And it was like,
I got no answer for that. I'm not kidding.
It's like the biggest breakup song, and then like you've got this cat food commercial. I'm like, what's
Bernie,
going on
you know
on
you've
here?
Made it. Yeah. You know.
Actually, that is when you know
I mean,
you made
I've
it.
Heard our songs in some weird places, but I'm not sure I ever remember hearing a cat food commercial. I don't know how it fits in with a cat food commercial.
I don't know either.
So this album Restoration, with the songs of you and Elton with country artists. Bubby, can you go through some of these songs on this album?
Just give a little clips, give some highlights. Little
Yeah, like, I mean, it's got Crocodile Rock.
I'll tell you, here's a...
No, there's no Crocodile Rock on it.
No.
That's not on there?
That's on the album.
Here's the thing. Big D doesn't have the album. I've been listening to it for about 24 hours now. Hang on. Let me turn this up. Just because this was always such a pretty song. And we're going to go to... You remember Sacrifice?
Me or him? You asking Bernie or me?
Both of you.
Well, I certainly remember it because I was the one that pitched that song on the album. But it's no sacrifice.
Just a simple word. Who is that?
That's Don Henley and Vince Gill. And in fact, the funny thing was that when we started putting this record together, the first person I called was Don Henley because he just put a record out that had a sort of country feel to it.
Yeah, yeah.
And obviously the Eagles, you know, they have a country rock thing going. And I thought he would be a great catalyst to kind of start it. And then once I mentioned what song I wanted to do, and he loved the song anyway... Then we came up with the idea of Vince jumping on board with it.
Oh, cool.
And after that, Vince joined the Eagles. So,
yeah, it's amazing. Wow.
I don't know.
So
maybe
you're
I got something to do with that.
You put the band together.
Yeah, you put the band together.
Yeah, you did. It feels so good,
it hurts so bad. Dierks Bentley doing sad songs. Suffered just enough to
sing the blues. And that's a country song if I ever heard one. Turn them on. Turn them on. Turn on those sad songs.
This album really is cool. I mean, there's just so much good stuff on it. It's really, I'm having to play this off of my phone. Give me a second here. I'll play another cut.
He said, oh, believe in the Lord is the golden.
Get back, honky cat.
Leanne. Get back, honky cat.
Oh, that's Leanne.
You better get back to the woods. Well, I quit those days.
I'm telling you, man, if you don't go out and pick up this album, you're totally missing out. You're going to be musically dumb.
Well, I appreciate that.
Has Elton ever, like, you wrote these beautiful words, and then you say, okay, Elton, here you go. You offer them up to him, and then has he ever written a melody that you totally were like, no, dude, we have to redo this because that sucks?
It's actually probably the other way around in the sense that I have a preconceived idea sometime of how something should sound. Definitely in the last sort of 25 years or so. In the beginning, you know, I had no idea. When I first started out, I was just a fish out of water. I mean, my idea of writing a song, I had no idea how to write a song. I didn't know what a bridge was. It was all stream of consciousness.
That sounds crazy to me that you are saying you didn't have a clue of how to write a song. Because
No, it was kind of frustration, you know, because where I came from, I needed to get away. And so when I got the opportunity, I just kind of was flying by a wing and a prayer. So,
okay, can I just take an aside here? So I know the story pretty good or part of it, but there's a part of it that I've never heard. So there was an ad placed 50 years ago, in 1967.
It's actually 52 years now,
so,
I think.
So the ad for Liberty Records was looking for musicians or songwriters, everything. You could either make an appointment or send in a mm-hmm. package. You sent a packet of lyrics to this guy, Ray Williams.
Yeah, and lyrics is using the word very lightly,
And then he had a meeting with a guy who became Elton John.
Right.
And that guy said, look, I'm lost. I can't write lyrics. I have all this, you know, and he thought he had a great voice and he had all this musical ability, but he just couldn't write lyrics that fit the songs. So, I mean, the way I think I've been told is that this guy just grabbed this packet of lyrics and goes, here, these poems are pretty good. Write songs to these.
Well, that's pretty much it. Can I ask you a favor? Can I carry you around with me every time anybody asks me that question?
I can tell it.
Because do you know how many times I've been asked that question?
Well, no, here's the question I want to know, which is, so he hands Reginald Dwight, who becomes Elton John, he hands him this packet of lyrics, and that guy goes home and writes music to these poems.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get at what point do you find out that he has your songs? Does he just call you up and go, hey, this guy gave me a packet of your poems.
I'm your new best friend.
Yeah.
No, I didn't work like, well, it worked like that to a certain extent. But yeah, no, we were, before I gave him anything, mm-hmm. I actually, there was a meeting orchestrated by that guy, Ray Williams. So he'd seen some of my stuff, but he put us together.
Oh.
And then when I met him, you know, I handed him some stuff, and he went away.
So you were a boy band.
That's right. Yeah,
Elton John and Bernie Taupin were a boy
That's
band.
Right.
The original boy band.
Hey, getting back to Restoration, this album, who? Because you spearheaded this. I mean, this is your baby.
Yes, sir.
Who? Like, what made you go? Okay, I want, you know, Stapleton on there. I want Miranda or Dirks. Like, what were you looking for? And were you looking for artists that you thought matched a certain song?
Not necessarily matched a certain song. There were people that I really respected. And I think what we did on this record, which is really great, is that we've got, as far as I'm concerned, the best of what is new in contemporary country music. And I've got the people that I respected in as far as the old guard, people like Willie and Emmylou, Rosie Cash, you know. But I wanted the people, too, that sort of were keeping the tradition alive. People like Stapleton. It really was kind of a wish list. And luckily, all the people on my wish list were people that came on board and dug the songs. And I made a point of trying to point people in the direction of a certain song. Sometime they were adamant about doing something that was their own choice. Rocket Man was the perfect example. I'd got a couple of other ideas in mind for Little Big Town. And I'd sent them songs and they said, no, I think we really want to do Rocket Man. And I was trying to think a little out of the box because I really wanted to try and do some things that were not the obvious, things that were sort of hidden gems, but they really wanted to do Rocket Man, and I was a bit ho-hum about it. But obviously, they totally proved me wrong, and that happened on a couple occasions. Same thing with Leanne Womack. I had another idea for her, but she really wanted to do Honky Cat, and again, her interpretation of it was fantastic, and Frank's production just takes it to another place.
You have Stapletons there. Have you heard this?
Yep.
Is Chris your favorite one on this album? This album?
I have no favorites. They're all my favorites.
That's a
good parent.
Do you think I'm gonna?
But it's
impossible. None of my babies are ugly.
Right.
A man like me, so irresponsible. A man like me is dead in places. Other men feel liberated. I can love, shot full of holes.
Man, this is done well.
Yeah. And the great thing about this track, too, is that he really, really made this song sound like he wrote it, I think.
I think he does that with all songs.
Well, that's great. And this song, although this was a single and it was a minor hit, this was one that I really pushed for Chris to do. And the gentleman that he is, he acquiesced to it and kind of went in and just, like I said, really made it his own.
He was all upset. He said, "Bernie, I really want to do Crocodile Rock."
Yeah, I imagine.
I knew that wasn't going to happen.
Think everybody shows up and wants to do Rocket Man. You know, like that's probably a little bit of the thing.
I don't know if everybody wanted to do Rocket Man.
I did. I wanted
to
do it.
Yeah, of course.
Listen, this is a great album, man. And Bernie, you did just a bang up job on it.
Thank you.
It's unbelievable. You can get it now. It's available. It's called Restoration. Get it now. And
can I ask one more question,
Nikita? Yes,
Nikita, was that really about a crush you had on a border guard? No,
I'd like to say yeah, but no. That's totally a fictional story. Totally invented in the dark recesses of my twisted mind.
I remember watching that video going, dude's got a crush on the East German border guard. Oh, well.
Don't ask Bernie any more questions. He's a dream killer. My God.
Or a dream maker, because I'm telling
you. I'm a little of both.
There are 13 or 14 singers on this album that are like, yes, thank you, Bernie, for letting me be a part of this. Yeah. It's called Restoration. Seriously, download it. You're going to thank us later.
Thank you, Bernie.
Thank you, guys.